People come to church for a whole bunch of different reasons. Now, one of the things that people often say is that they come to church to try to find ways to be a little better at this business of succeeding at being a human being. They want to hear what they're doing wrong and what they need to do to get right. Now, never mind that, no, most of us often don't take well to the idea that we are not just perfectly fine the way we are, thank you very much. It's like going to the doctor for your annual physical, knowing that you will be told that you really should lose some weight and you should drink less. You really don't want to hear it, and you don't really want to make the changes that this would require, and yet still you go year after year. And sometimes we come to church and it's the same sort of thing. Last week, for example, the prophet Micah gave us three oughts. What the Lord requires of us is not complicated. We ought to do justice, we ought to love kindness, and we ought to walk humbly with our God. But today, at the close of the Beatitudes, Jesus changes it up. And he tells us not what we ought to do, but who we are. He says, you are the salt of the earth. He says, you are the light of the world. Not that we ought to be the salt of the earth. Not that we ought to be the light of the world. We are. For all you former English teachers out there, it's in the indicative, not the imperative. You are. Now, sometimes we get a little discouraged about this thing we call church. It sure isn't what we would hope it would be, and it sure isn't what it used to be. I remember going to church, St. Thomas's Episcopal Church, as a child. I remember how aggravated everyone would get after church because it took forever to get out of the parking lot, though there were so many cars. You'd go from peace be with you and the handshake of peace to almost the one-fingered salute in less than 5 minutes. Fast forward a half dozen decades or so, and if we get 50 folk in this old meeting house on a Saturday, we do handsprings. We are so excited. If we get 80 on a Sunday, we're pretty pumped up. Many of us are old enough to remember the monopoly Christians had on Sundays. No sports for the kids. No stores open except perhaps for a convenience store or a grocery. Pretty much everyone was a Christian. Today, people of faith are a distinct minority in our culture. And many people think that you are downright weird if you go to a church on a day which they think is perfectly fine for brunch or a trip to the mall. And what of our denominations? The United Church of Christ, like the other mainline denominations, they've all been shrinking, all had to cut staff and budgets, all have seen their influence and their power diminished. We wonder what has happened to our world. We wonder how we, few followers of Christ, could ever make a difference. We're not so much different from that ragtag group of women and men gathered on that hillside long ago, how they must have felt. Some ex-fishermen, a tax collector, men and women who had left their homes to follow around a rabbi who didn't have 2 denarii to rub together. And yet Jesus says to them, you are the salt of the world. You are the light of the world. Now salt, that actually made sense. Like maybe a few grains of salt by themselves are pretty insignificant. No one eats salt as a meal. But they knew, and we know, that it doesn't take much salt to bring out the flavor in food, to turn mere sustenance into a gourmet feast. And light, that made sense too. No one looks at light just to look at it. With good reason, Mama told you never to look into the light of the sun. No, light is useful in that it lets you see the world. It lets you see the way things are. It doesn't take much light to change everything. Think how one candle can give light to an entire room when the electricity goes out. Think how a 40-watt bulb on the bedside lamp table can safely illuminate a middle-of-the-night journey. Think how candles in the window of a home in the Christmas season can bring the whole house alive. In the same way, Jesus tells us, we are the light of the world. We, though small in number, though feeling as if we are powered by AAA batteries, when we think the world could really use an arc lamp, we help the world see. In an increasingly secular nation, the world has no means of seeing what is holy until it stumbles upon those who believe there is more to life than materialism and the quest for more. In a violent world which believes that might makes right and only the fittest survive, the world cannot believe there is an alternative until it comes up against those who follow the Prince of Peace, who believe that it is in losing our life that we save it. In a world which does not realize that it is in bondage, enslaved to an economic system which proclaims that it is natural and right and the best of all possible worlds, that the rich should have an ever-increasing disproportionate share of the earth's resources, while the other 98% struggle to get by paycheck to paycheck, only one medical emergency away from destitution. In such a world, how can it see that there is a better way unless it encounters those who have been set free by the one who assures us that all we have is a gift, and that we are never richer than when we share of what we have. In a world ever prone to fear that there will not be enough, fear that others are coming to take our stuff away, without the followers of the one who triumphed over the cross and the grave, how can the world ever see that nothing, not life, nor death, nor powers, nor principalities, nor things to come, nor anything else in all creation will separate us from the love of God? Well, how can we imagine that we, so few in number, mostly just plain folk, not a bunch of Mother Teresa's or Dietrich Bonhoeffer's or Martin Luther King Jr.'s, how we might be the light of the world, the light that Jesus tells us we are. So one image I hold on to is that of a deck prism. And I'm going to hold a deck prism up right here, thanks to Carol Allen. Thank you, Carol. This is a deck prism. I'm holding it the way it would be inserted into the deck of, say, a schooner, a sailboat. And what a deck prism does is if you insert this into the wooden deck, the light hits the top, and as it comes through the deck, it's refracted and diffused, and it can light up the whole cabin below. So we also, although small in numbers, and yes, perhaps shaky in faith, we can shine the light of Jesus in a world too often filled with shadow and darkness. You may have seen the article in this past week's Cape Cod Times on Wednesday, highlighting the ministry of the West Yarmouth United Church of Christ congregation under the leadership of my colleague, the Reverend Chuck Soule. The church hosts monthly soup sampler meals for the community. It's free of charge, draws 90 folk from the community for a free meal of soup, chili, a beverage, and a dessert, plus a chance to meet a few new people, have a conversation, and get out of the house. Christ's light shining through the people of Christ in West Yarmouth in a bleak Cape midwinter. Or you may have missed the work of the Massachusetts Council of Churches under the leadership of the Reverend Laura Everett, who blessed us with her presence in this pulpit a couple years ago. This past December, in response to the resurgence of anti-Semitism in this country and indeed around the world, she and a number of other Christian leaders in Massachusetts authored a letter from Christian leaders decrying violence against Jews. I signed that letter together with almost 1,100 other Christian leaders. Writes Reverend Everett, "This swift and broad response has been a balm to our Jewish siblings. Our colleagues at Jewish Community Relations Council told me of watching their computers with tears in their eyes as the names of pastors and church leaders fill the spreadsheet in solidarity. Church, you need to know I have received cards and letters from rabbis and Jewish leaders thanking us for seeing their pain." Christ's light shining through the people of Christ across Massachusetts and beyond. And you likely have not missed the work of this congregation in the many ways we try to be Christ's hands and feet in this troubled world. You have helped Sarah Wyatt and the Board of Outreach put on those meals at St. Joseph's Shelter. You have brought in hats and mittens and now this month's socks to help out disadvantaged men, women, and children on the Cape by supporting these Saturday school mission projects. You have made our facilities available to Alcoholics Anonymous 5 nights a week, free of charge, so that upwards of 60 folk each night might grab a hold of the lifeline which prevents them from slipping back into the abyss of addiction. And you have supported our outreach giving to community and global organizations through your pledges and other contributions week in and week out. Christ's light shining out from the few gathered faithful in a 300-year-old meeting house in little old West Barnstable. Archbishop William Temple is often quoted as saying, "The church is the only organization on earth that exists for those who are not its members." Friends, Jesus has chosen you to be the light of the world, that you might be a blessing to a hungering, thirsting, searching world, a world just dying for a glimpse of the way, the truth, and the life. Let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Amen.